Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl on a cold, rainy day from the mountains, from the highlands. Just saw the mama deer with her two twins grazing. It was a blessing. Bless you, Father. We thank you and praise you, God. Anoint, appoint, impart, release. Let your word be exalted in your name. Let your truth go out like a fiery sword. That you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You never change. How great is your counsel and your ways beyond finding out and understanding. Lord, release to us by the Spirit counsel, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Anoint our eyes, hearts, and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this season. We are in Hanukkah right now. And the Feast of Hanukkah is the cleansing of the altar. It is the interim testamental period between when the word of the Lord, the prophet, stopped prophesying until the word made flesh came, Yeshua the Mashiach. It's an eight-day festival that commemorates the cleansing and rededication of the temple following the victory of Judas Maccabees. It is the only Jewish festival not specified in the Hebrew Bible. It's also called a Feast of Dedication. And one candle is lit every day for a total of eight candles. Jesus, Yeshua, was in Jerusalem during this festival in John 10. The word Hanukkah means consecration or dedication. Now, what's significant about this is Antiochus Epiphanes, one of Alexander the Great's generals, who had one of the four, he was a Greek general, conducted pagan worship in the temple in Jerusalem. And Judas Maccabees cleansed the temple from the pollution of the pagan worship. He made a new and sacrificial altar, holy vessels, burned incense on the incense altar, lit the lampstands to give light to the temple of the light to the temple and place bread on the table, hung new curtains. And then it was a feast of dedication with sacrifices, songs, and joyous worship for 8 days. Evidently, there was a miracle of the oil in the lamps in which there was not enough, and miraculously there was provision for lamp oil for 8 days. This alludes to the prophecy in Zechariah of the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord, which are reflective in the book of Revelation, I believe it's book 11, of the two witnesses. The lighting of the lamps, the description is the Feast of Lights. This is a season to cleanse the altar and prepare your hearts. We are the temple. You are to cleanse and prepare. I will not go into it all, but just briefly, we'll read John 10. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. 22, beginning with, "And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And then Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I just want to point out in this passage, Jesus said, if you believe on Yeshua, okay, then you hear his voice and you're his sheep. But if you don't believe, you're not a sheep. And Yeshua knows you and they follow Yeshua. And we receive eternal life. So these are some qualifiers about following the Lord, Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And no one shall take them away from the Father. "I am my Father one," said Yeshua. Verse 30, "Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, For good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, made thyself God. And here, this is the testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God made flesh, Emmanuel. And he is the light of the world. Now, this is a whole and since he is the temple, and his temple, we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to follow him, hear his voice, believe in him, follow him, hear his voice, not listen to the voice of another. And this is his declaration. But this particular feast, Yeshua is the fulfillment of all the feasts, but this feast is significant in that it not only speaks about a day of cleansing in the midst of Antiochus Epiphanes. Who is this guy? He is a first type of Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. He came in, he defiled the temple, he set up idols of Zeus. He sacrificed pigs on the altar, pig's blood. It was forbidden. It was disgusting. And he forbid the practice of religion, the faith of the Jews. And this is indicative of an Antichrist type. This is what they will look at. He is the abomination that causes desolation that Yeshua refers to. When you see the abomination that causes desolation in the holy place, know, okay, that these things are coming to pass. What? The return of his coming. Let's look, and let me quote that scripture exactly. Oops, here we go. I love this. I have a new Bible, not new, updated. I was limping along for a while, and it says so. Matthew and Mark 24:15, Matthew 13:14. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Okay, what do we understand? This is a type. This is abominations. These are types. What's going to happen? All right. Here's what's going to happen. Yeshua, we need to rededicate our altars to the Lord. And Yeshua being the head of the church, the chief cornerstone, in which all lines up with him, his character, and his examples. And what all the prophets and apostles spoke of him. And what is that? Those who believe him, follow him. Okay, they testify of him. And these are those who keep the commandments. All the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Love God with all your heart. The first four commandments teach us exactly what it means to love God. You shall have no idols before me. You shall keep the Sabbath holy. You shall not take God's name in vain. You shall not make any other false gods. God's name is holy. First four commandments. That's how we love God. The next six commandments tell us how to love our neighbor. Honor our father and mother, not to murder, not to bear false witness, not to steal, not to covet, no sexual immorality, okay? And then faith in Yeshua. So Yeshua is the head of the church. Now, not all who say they are the church are the church. Those who, what did I say? Believe in Yeshua, hear his voice, and follow him. There's many who say they are Christians or the church. They look like a lamb. Hey, they have all the outward, accoutrements of being, quote, a Christian, but the spirit is that of a dragon. Those who are under Yeshua's headship, not a pastor or anyone else. We are not the pastor's bride. We are Yeshua's bride. And how do we worship him? Like he said to the Samaritan woman, oh, do we worship at this mountain in Samaria or this one in Jerusalem? We worship in spirit and truth. Okay. Now is that day. Now, this feast, this dress rehearsal for the rededicating of the altar in this particular time is what is, and the rise, of the Antichrist and those things that oppose those people of the covenant. So we are exhorted to overcome. I'm going to look at some scriptures, having just returned from Israel, and the spiritual geopolitics of what is coming, okay? And we were going to look at what the dedication to the altar is. Real briefly here, it's out of Joel. It's call a holy assembly, repent, okay? Repent. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a holy assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Okay, and then he talks about the destruction that's coming, the judgments from God, which are, famine, the sword, beast, cankerworms, and destruction. And here's for the remnant. This is the part that if we turn and rededicate our altars to him and who he is, as expressly seen in the word of God, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and the handmaidens. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, where are we in the spirit? In Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, where are we? The heavenly Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant, not in the whole mass, the whole body, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Okay, called, chosen, and faithful, those who follow the Lamb. It's a remnant. It's not a mass of people. It is a remnant. It's what's left over. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 15. And then we will go a little further into the spiritual geopolitics. We're talking about the rise of the Antichrist, the abomination that causes desolation, and the prophecies that are revealed about the nations surrounding Israel and all nations. You'll have to review some of my prior teachings on this out of Israeli Fall 2012 in order to, this is built on those, and this is the next progressive step of Revelation, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 15. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you not soon be shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now let's just stop right here. Okay, look, they thought that Jesus was coming, and he said, no, he's come. And they said, no, he hasn't come. So don't be shaken or troubled by word or letter from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Here are the precursors. This is what it's going to look at. First of all, deception. Don't let anybody deceive you. For that day shall not come except there come an appalling, a falling away, A falling away first. Well, a falling away means once you were there and then you fell away. Okay. A lot of backsliders, a lot of apostasy, a lot of turning to their own thoughts, their own imaginations, and not lining up with the counsel of God, or picking and choosing what they want of the Word of God and not embracing the cutting of the flesh away from their hearts and their lives, the crucifying of their flesh according to the will of God, as expressed in Scripture. And some of these people will be deceived in their thought. Well, that's just your opinion about what the Word of God says. The Word of God is pretty straight up and plain concerning godliness and, you know, a life of godliness and not being worldly, which is huge. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you love anything more, mother, brother, sisters, than Jesus, you're not worthy of him. You have disqualified yourself. And so that's first. Don't let anybody deceive you by that, okay? For this falling away is happening now. And the man of sin be revealed, okay? He has to be revealed, openly displayed. The son of perdition. This is a very specific person. This is the person of what we call in Daniel this Antiochus Epiphanes. And these are the things that he will do. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man takes on the worship, okay, and exalts himself as God. Remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what withholdeth him might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity as already works, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay, so this is an enigmatic verse. I don't want to get into it. There are a couple of ways to interpret this. Some have said it's the Holy Spirit. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit is restraining. The mystery of iniquity is restraining. There will be, when the restraint is released, then you will see that the son of man, the man of sin, the son of perdition will be revealed. So he's working, this means he's working in iniquity and in deception and deceit and flattery and cunning and trickery. In verse 8, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. This wicked is the son of perdition. This Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Very specifically, the Lord shall consume this wicked one. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in him that perish. Because... okay, these people, he's coming, he's going to have lying signs and wonders and power that are working deceiving in unrighteousness. He's going to work unrighteousness in them that perish, and in the apostate, the fallen away from those of God, who think that they know what the counsel of God is and his government, refuse to surrender to the truth, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, because of their pride or their own self-willed rebellion, generally speaking. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They should believe what they want, their own flesh, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What did Yeshua say to the Samaritan woman? You worship me in the Spirit and in truth. Truth is truth. You either walk in it or you don't. You're walking in a lie. and your own deception, your own carnal thinking, and refuse to submit to the word of God, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. This lays the foundation or the groundwork for this is a lie and this is the truth. This is black and this is white. This is righteous and this is wicked. There is no middle ground here. There's no gray area. We are not to compromise or mediate the word of God to fit our situation or our opinions, but we hold fast, okay, the traditions, whether by word or our epistle. Now these events are playing out. Let us look at Joel chapter 3. And the first section, well, from 1 through 17 is titled, God Judges the Nations. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, so that's now. Judah, the Jews, have been brought back, and Jerusalem to Israel, the land. I will also gather all nations. Okay. And bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. All right. In the Bible dictionary, this valley of Jehoshaphat, they say there isn't a place titled that. It means God is judge. God is judging. Often it's looked at the Kidron Valley, which runs between the Old City and the Mount of Olives. And I will enter into judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. This is all the nations that have scattered them, are coming against them. And they are, the intention is to that they have been scattered in the past. These nations have scattered them amongst all the nations. They have divided up my land. They have divided up my land. When? In that day when I bring them back from their captivity, from being dispersed into all the nations. They've divided up my land. They've cast lots for my people. In other words, they've gambled for them. They've given a boy as payment for a harlot. Okay, there's prostitution. And sold a girl for wine, intoxications that they may drink. So they've cheapened the value of the moral principles in order to divide up God's lands. Indeed, what have you to do with me? Okay, O Tyre and Sidon, that's Lebanon, and all you coast of Philistia, that would be Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod. Will you retaliate against me? Now, we're going to pick this theme up in Amos, who these nations are and what's happening there. But if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temple my prized possessions. Also the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem. You have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place which you have sold them, and will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to people far off, where the Lord has spoken. This is a slavery transaction here. All right, here we go. Now, proclaim this among the nations. Verse 9. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations. and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. I want to talk about these verses 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Okay. It says, okay, proclaim for war. So we hear the war drums rising up. Everybody's preparing in the Middle East. Then the all nations. Let's just say that all nations is the United Nations, the international body politic, who on November 29th has divided this year, 2012, November 29th, and given the Palestinians a non-member status state in the United Nations. Now, look, when the Ottoman Empire was divided up in 1917, when it fell, after being in a caliphate for 400 years, the lands that were divided all around it came back to the ancient boundaries, even though they were arbitrary and not tribal. There was crossover. In 1947, November 29th, 65 years to the date this year, when Israel was divided out, Jewish lands were partitioned out of Arab lands. The Transjordan was the Palestinian territory. But Jordan did not receive that, and they still maintain the keys to the Temple Mount for the Hashemite kingdom. It was still the Islamic Caliphate, the Ottoman Caliphate, had the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Okay? So you understand a little of the friction. It's very difficult sometimes to communicate to those in the West who are not do not understand the cultural, tribal, honor-based culture and shame-based that they operate on. And protocol and pecking order. They do have a hierarchy that we essentially don't, per our cultural background, under an allegedly constitutional basis in freedom-loving people, rule by all the people, do not understand this theocracies, this... what shall I call it, theocratic religious mindset that is in the Arabic and the Middle Eastern populations, but it does exist. All right. Therefore, Islam teaches that all the former lands that belong to Islam must be repatriated back under Islam to revive the Muslim caliphate with the intention of a global Islamic caliphate. Let me propose to you that the word of God here says that they have come against God because they divided his land. And the United Nations, all these nations, have risen up against God. I'm not saying that Israelis are righteous people. They're not. It's not a holy land. And God's a holy God. And it's been a land profaned. They've cast lots for my people, divided my land. There's prostitution and intoxication, all for money. All these things operate there. Nevertheless, it is still, God still says it's his land. And no, Allah is not the same God of the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testament covenant. He is a different God, for those of you who were wondering. You need to do your homework and not believe what everyone tells you. Now, then verse 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. This is saying, take your agriculture, your instruments of peace, and make them into instruments of war. Interestingly enough, in the United Nations, when you walk down the street, I think it's the streets right in front of the United Nations are for two Ben Gurion and I think Yitzhak Rabin, and there's this big wall. As you enter into the plaza, you go across the street, and it says the other scripture out of Isaiah, it says, beat your spears into pruning hooks and your plowshares and your swords into plowshares. It's a reversal of this. It's a scripture out of Isaiah. And this same scripture is in Yad Vashem on Mount Herzl. Well, what does that mean? That means man himself is trying to bring peace. Cannot bring peace until you deal with the heart of the matter. And men's hearts have got to have the stones taken out. Okay, their stones have to be taken out of their heart, and God has to put a heart of flesh in them and write his laws and his commandments on them. And God says that my eyes and my heart are always in Jerusalem. They will never leave. It says in Kings, when Solomon, the Lord spoke to him, was dedicating the temple of Solomon to the Lord God. He said, my heart and my eyes are here always. Why? Because Yeshua shed his blood there, and his blood is crying out, okay, for the redemption of all things to be brought back into him. And the dome of the rock is a dome over a rock. It's a stone, allegedly, where, according to the Jews, Abraham brought Isaac up to sacrifice. The Muslims teach that Father Abraham brought Ishmael up. This is the rock of offense. But this rock has to be taken out of the heart of Jerusalem. And God has to put his heart in there and write his name and his commandments, the heart of flesh, with his laws, holiness to the Lord, that it no longer be profaned. The United Nations has said, oh, we can do this. We can make peace treaties. We can make peace. All this has been done by secular humanism. You know, we, the United Nations, partition out the land. Now, we, the United Nations, can say there's a Palestinian land. Well, God can use, he says, I create the destroyer to wreak havoc. You know, I create destruction for God's purposes. He's permitted them, but it does not necessarily mean they're under submission and obedience to him and call him Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I, this is the Lord speaking, will sit to judge the nations. To judge. Now I want to stop. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. I didn't say all of the nations. He said the surrounding nations. The nations surrounding the valley of Jehoshaphat. We'll say Jehoshaphat is this valley, the Kidron Valley, between the old city and the Mount of Olives. And all the surrounding nations, those would be the nations surrounding Israel, which right now have come up against and are in opposition to Israel as a state. As the Muslim Brotherhood has stated in their charter, Israel does not have the right to exist. And we're going to wipe it off the map. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is a Nazi fascist organization from al-Husseini, birth through Arafat, out of Egypt, is to take Jerusalem back to be the undivided capital of Palestine, the Philistines. That no Jews, they hate Jews. And al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem during World War II, was pals with Adolf Hitler. And Mein Kampf is required reading in all the major Arab universities throughout the Middle East. So, therefore, you will see what their mindset is. This is not a God of peace. And they want freedom. There is no freedom under Sharia law. Their connotation, their definition of freedom is quite different. Their definition of God is quite different from the Judeo-Christian God. Period. That is God in these holy word. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. And the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. This has not as of yet been fulfilled, but Israel will be holy. Zechariah 12 and 14 talks about that prophecy. We'll jump over there a little bit later. In that day, Zechariah 14, Jerusalem will be holy, and Israel will be a holy land. And this is the process This is a purging process now, to purge out the wicked tares and the wickedness that's coming to full maturity in the harvest time. And that righteousness, God's righteousness, is going to be exalted in all the earth, and His word is going to cover the earth in His glory, as the waters of the sea cover the earth. Let's progress on to the book of Amos. We'll break this out a little bit more. Amos means burden or burden bearer, to lift a burden, to carry. And he was given a divine burden of declaring judgment to rebellious Israel. He prophesies during a time of natural optimism. But business is booming, boundaries are bulging, but beneath the surface is greed and injustice. Hypocritical religious emotions have replaced true worship, creating a false sense of security and growing callousness to God's disciplining hand. Famine, drought, plagues, death, and destruction are disciplines. And these things come, and the people are callous and do not acknowledge that God is bringing these disciplines so that they might go to their knees and repent and humble themselves and become more and harder and more stony-hearted than previously. And the separation between the righteous continuing to be righteous and the wicked continuing to be wicked is evident. The word of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Yerushalayim. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the tops of Carmel withers." Judgment on the nations is the heading for this. Verse 3, "Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Aven. And the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden, the people of Syria, shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord." Okay, let's look at these verses. Okay, Damascus, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, because they have, God will not turn away its punishment. We see Damascus currently is under the sword, is under war. It's being punished because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. Gilead is the north central section of the Transjordanian highlands. It's a whole section, the mountain slopes and tableland east of the Jordan, the northeast of the Dead Sea. It's bisected by the Jabbok River. In Old Testament time, the kingdom of Ammon occupied its eastern fringe. Okay, so it's right now, Gilead is the northern section of Israel and the nation Jordan. "But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which should devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus." So these are the ruling. The house of Hazael are the rulers. There's a fire in the house of the rulers, and the palaces are being devoured. Even now, this is transpiring in Syria, in Damascus. "I will break the gate bar of Damascus." The gate bar, when your gate bar is broken down, the enemy has entered in. This has come to pass currently, and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon. And the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden, the house of Eden, the people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. Over, roughly 500,000 refugees have now been dispersed into the place where Gilead is, the north of Jordan, the south of Lebanon, Turkey, the surrounding nations. It's a very large problem currently. All right, let's go to the next three verses. For thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishments. Because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the walls of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. All right, for three transgressions of Gaza, that'd be the Gaza Strip. They took captive the whole captive. They possessed the whole land. They said peace, and they lied. There's been no peace, and there's been an escalation. They will be delivered up to Edom. Who is Edom? Edom's over in Jordan. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza. And indeed, a fire did come with many thousands of missiles and in the Eighth Day War at the end of November 2012. Which shall devour its palaces? I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod. Ashdod's a little further north up. Is now Israeli, and the one who holds a scepter from Ashkelon, I will turn my hand against Ekron. Ashkelon is also on the coast. Ekron is a tad bit inland. And the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord their God. Says the Lord God. Verses 6, 7, and 8 has to do with Gaza, Mediterranean Strip. Let's look at 9 and 10. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up to the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Now palaces are always indicative of the seat of government and authority. The authority is being overthrown. The authority in Syria is being overthrown. In Gaza, their authority will be overthrown. And in Tyre, where's Tyre? Lebanon. It's the north of Israel. And they deliver the whole captivity to Edom, which, as we said, is part of Jordan. And they did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. They had a covenant of brotherhood. They were treacherous. They lie. Verse 11 and 12. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away its punishment. Edom is now the ancient lands of Jordan, because they pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. And his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozra. Also in Jordan, Bozra is an ancient pen gate. There's a prophecy in Isaiah, which we can't go into now, about the sheepens of Bozra, about the Lord coming up when he returns to wreak vengeance on his enemies from Bozra. Verse 13, 14, and 15. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four. Ammon is the north of Edom, okay? It's Jordan. It's what I define as part of Gilead. And for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead. That is the north, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces amid shouting in the day of battle. And in a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, their king shall go into captivity. He and his princes together, says the Lord. Now in the north of Jordan is where a great deal of refugees and refugee camps are set up by the United Nations right now. And it is under the Jordanian king, Abdullah II, which is an interesting story. There is no real king there. It is under the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. Thus says the Lord, verse Amos 2, for three transgressions of Moab and for four. Moab, the Moabites, so Amnon, Edom, and Moab are all currently Jordan. and will not turn away its punishment because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirioth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound, and I will cut off the judge from its midst and stay all its princes with him, says the Lord. This is all Jordan. Jordan so far, Egypt, the king of the south, has come against Israel. They're working through Gaza. Hezbollah is working in Lebanon with Iran. Iran's ratcheting up the ante. Syria's going down. Iran is behind Syria. And Russia is behind Syria. Syria's the linchpin for the taking down of the Middle East. The nations are behind this, but these are the direct surrounding nations. And then there's all the nations are being drawn in like a hook. They're being drawn into this because God is going to bring them into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, into his judgment. I'm going to do another part on Amos 2. It's the judgment on Judah and on Israel. But for this segment, I'm going to leave it right here. Let me just say that several months ago, King Abdullah II made a visit to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount. He holds, as the Hashemite king, the keys to the Temple Mount and authority over that jurisdiction. That is the heart of the matter. Last week, King Abdullah of Jordan, Transjordan, with his ministers, went to Ramallah. Ramallah is where Mahmoud Abbas is, the president of the non-member Saada state of Palestine. Its headquarters is where Arafat used to hang out. Ramallah means Mountain of Allah. Okay, it's just outside of Jerusalem. A little ways away, he's north of Bethlehem. And he came to meet with Mahmoud Abbas. This is very significant. It wasn't brought about. Why is King Abdullah II, who is in the process fighting all the Muslim Brotherhood that's trying to destabilize his country and overthrow his throne and scepter to make it part of the or make it part of, or bring it under the rule, bring it to heel, Jordan to heel, under the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a Sunni-Shiite battle, I believe, going on behind the scenes. And I also believe, not by fact, but by educated assumption or insight, that it is about the Temple Mount. There was a video file in the spring where the Ministry of Interior for Gaza was ranting in Arabic. It was translated to Egypt. How come they aren't helping them with their bills? They have gas bills. And that everyone knows that Gaza is the spear point for Egypt, for the Muslim Brotherhood to Jerusalem. Bless you. I trust and pray that as we see these events unfold, we will see God's eternal word. Before an event has happened, the Lord has declared it. And when God acts, who can reverse it? Hagsameah. Clean your altar. Be ready at any moment. Stand. Your salvation is drawing near. God bless.